Pleasant Monday. This is Ozarks at Large. This summer, University of Arkansas officials are working to ensure students have access to free tampons when they return for the fall semester. Similar efforts are being made at colleges across the country, including the University of Washington and Princeton. The effort at the U of A is a result of the Menstrual Equality for All Act. James DiLoretto Hill is president of the Graduate Professional Student Congress, and he worked with the Associated Student Government to pass the legislation. Late last week, JD stopped by Studio 123 to talk with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about what inspired him to launch this initiative.
We were hosting a conference for the National Association of Graduate and Professional Students last November. Actually, I serve on their board. And so we hosted them at the U of A, and it's a vivid memory. I was standing outside in the hallway in the Union, and who's now a friend of mine, BJ, who's a Penn Law student, came out of the bathroom and said, "What is the deal with your tampon dispenser?" She's like, "There's literally three padlocks on there." And I just kind of looked and I said, "Well, I'm a gay man. I've really not encountered, this is just not an issue that I've had to encounter." And I was like, sitting there thinking about it, I'm like, that's kind of ridiculous though. I've never really thought about this. And so she said she was gonna go back to Penn and try to work on getting it kind of act in her campus. And I said, "Well, I wanna do that here." And so we kind of corresponded kind of through the board and with each other over the next few months. And then we kind of sat down and she worked with me in helping me kind of write up the bill. But the big thing is we just, I more talked to people, the more I kind of got that same reaction. It's like, I've never thought about that, but this makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't we do that? We give toilet paper, we give paper towels, we give soap, and no one even thinks about that. Why is this an issue? And then, of course, you get into first of all, you're forcing people to use coins in the dispenser. So you're charging them and making them use quarters. I don't remember the last time I had quarters in my pocket. And then do they even work? I'm sure, are they stocked? And so there's all these questions that we started to get. And I said, this really makes sense. It's, if we're going to care about inclusivity, then this is something that probably should have realistically happened decades ago. But it hasn't. So let's push forward with this. We wrote the bill. I went before Graduate Professional Student Congress. It was voted unanimously by the body. They were very enthusiastic. And right around the same time, I approached ASG and just said, "I would love to partner with you guys on this. I'm not really going to focus too much on the details or the language. I just want you guys to, I would just love to do this together with you. Here's my language. Take from it what you want, leave what you want." They decided to take the whole thing, pass it exactly verbatim. We then took that and sent it along with kind of a cover letter to the chancellor and then the vice chancellor for facilities management and just said, "This is what we've passed. We'd really like to meet with you and start kind of seeing what we can do to get this process moving forward."
So what is some of that language that you presented to them? What are some of the things that you're wanting to see happen?
So the biggest thing is that, it's that the fact that if you're having your period and you can't access menstruation products, you're going to quite possibly miss class, miss a meeting, and that is creating inherently an unequal access to education. That is an issue that, someone who's menstruating has to deal with and not males. And so or at least biological males. And so they that was pretty much it. We took some language a little bit from the United Nations, which has actually declared these products to be a human right. And that obviously, they're looking at it in terms of third world countries and some of the more antiquated policies around the world. But it is kind of built off of that in Western countries like Australia, and I know the UK have looked at this exact same way and just been like, "No, we need to pass this. This is something that really just needs to be done." We were very cautious in the planning process too. We didn't want to be presumptive and try to prescribe how the university should do it in terms of details. Basically, the way I put it to the facilities management was, "I'm not an expert in running these facilities. This is literally, you're the expert in doing that." And so we want to kind of give you guys the room and the space to do this and not, prescribe anything. Basically, all we care about is this gets done. Not that we have a few select locations around campus. That doesn't quite cut it. We want this in every bathroom. It's just like there's paper towels in every bathroom. And they were incredibly supportive. The dean of students in particular really pulled in a group of administrators from the Pat Walker Health Center, from facilities, from student affairs, from the chancellor's office, and basically created this kind of group of folks, and they decided to kind of get things off the ground. To facilities credit, we some of the research that I had done, there's a couple of nonprofits out there that will do this for both you know, public and private institutions and businesses to kind of get their buildings with tampons. And they have some information on kind of how to roll this stuff out. And one of the common things was to do a pilot program, you know, just to see, you know, what is the demand like? You know, are there areas in campus where demand is higher? And so that's really what I presented to them and more or less assumed that that's kind of what we would do for maybe in the next semester, possibly the next full year. But they really one-upped us and said, no, we're going to go to every bathroom and we are going to change every dispenser. And this is free across campus in every bathroom that we have, which was phenomenal and, you know, unexpected and beyond obviously appreciated. So they really... really jumped on and were far more supportive than we would have even hoped. So it was really great, pleasantly surprised.
So you passed this bill in March?
That sounds about right, yep.
And then went and talked to them. And I know things can be kind of slow at the end of semester, but it sounded like they jumped right on it.
Yep, so they did. We had a few kind of, probably took us about a month in some of the initial conversations where people were kind of like, oh, what is this? And trying to wrap their heads around it and to determine exactly what we wanted and to kind of make sure that all the expectations were kind of clear. But as soon as we really sussed that out and we basically just said what I, you know, how I just put it, that we're not really interested in the how. We're happy to help in any way we can, but we're not, you know, we just want you to do this and whatever is easiest. If you want us to assist and find, there are dispensers that they make. There's companies that can help you track the flow of things so you can see, you know, have a pilot program that is efficient. But as soon as they kind of did that, it was within a few weeks they had kind of started moving on things. And so basically what University Relations has asked us to do now is they've asked myself and some representatives from ASG to kind of come up with the marketing campaign, more or less. And so they're basically like, yes, we will handle all the logistics. You guys don't even have to worry about that. Why don't you guys come up with some slogans, some stickers, and so we can put them on all of these dispensers. So, you know, because this is unexpected, you know what I mean? When you go into a bathroom, you don't even anticipate these things are free. So we want to make sure that we can, you know, make that known and make it known that this is something that the University of Arkansas now values and, you know, this is how it's going to be moving forward.
Are the dispensers already changed? Or is this in the process of?
I believe it's in the process of. So last I heard, they were trying to do basically an inventory. They wanted to see what, which kind of goes
many?
To show you how, you know, this is such an afterthought in so many ways. And so they were just like, what do we even have on campus? What is full? What is not full? Last I heard, they were still kind of in the process of sussing that out. And I hadn't heard of any issues. So I think it's probably still going pretty smoothly.
In doing the inventory, did you hear any thing about how well stocked they were, if they weren't, because if they weren't sure how many they had, that leads me to wonder how often do you check and how often do you restock?
And I think I made one of the same comments when I heard that. I was like, this goes, I'm not, yeah. I did not hear specifically on that, but I will tell you from anecdotally and conversing uh-huh. about this around campus that was one of the people who were like, they're never stocked. Or if they are stocked, they're super old. I was standing with a group of folks in one of the engineering buildings. She was just like, hold on. Grabbed a quarter, went in, and the tampon was so old that it had like, it was like the plastic had melted into the cardboard. And it was, she's like, this must be like 15 years old. And so she's like, but that one worked. You never know. She's like, I know the one downstairs does not work. And so, you know, she's like, it's really kind of a, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. It's kind of like rolling the dice. But a lot of them told me, too, is that they don't even bother with the machines. They will prefer to go around and ask people, you know, which some of the statistics show that like 85% of women have gone through that, which, you know, again, as a male, not something I've ever had to deal with. And so I empathize quite a bit with, you know, I mean, the idea of like, if I have to go to the bathroom, like, do I have paper towels today? Do I have a quarter in my pocket? Did I bring my paper towels? Does anyone have paper towels? I need to go to the bathroom right now. I guess I'm just going to have to go home because they have paper towels at home. And so they, you know, but then we started thinking about, you know, graduate students are 40% international. And so international, different customs, different language barriers and things like that. And so if I'm trying to picture myself in a different country and needing to ask a question like that, I think that would be mortifying for some people. So I did not get any exact numbers on that, but anecdotally, I know that it wasn't a good situation overall.
With installing the new dispensers, or maybe just taking the locks off, I'm not really sure
how
it works.
I wasn't sure how they wanted to do that yet either.
And making sure they are stocked and perhaps better stocked than they have been, is that going to require more funding? Is there some sort of grant or something that people are going
so,
after?
So from my personal perspective, the way I saw it was this was the university's responsibility to pay for. Mm-hmm. Initially, some folks suggested, you know, maybe with some of the funds with ASG and GPSC, we can get this kind of off the ground. And I felt pretty strongly against that because, again, this is something that the university pays for in every other bathroom-related circumstance. And so there's no reason why graduate students should be taking student activity fees that, we use for things like conferences and research and things like that, and put this towards something that we believe fundamentally the university should be providing. I'm assuming this is a facilities management thing in terms of their line item. So,
okay.
But again, like I said, not my area of expertise. I'm happy to.
We're still rolling it out and figuring it out.
Exactly.
Has there been any discussion of also offering pads?
I believe there are at least some machines, if not the plan for the other machines, will offer both.
Both. Okay.
And one thing that we have kind of talked about is this was initially sort of more of a long-term goal, but because they basically skipped the whole piloting step. One thing that I did discuss with some of the ASG counterparts was to have a few select locations on campus that provide more of a variety of products. So what you have in every bathroom is something that basically anyone can use if they needed an emergency. And that can get them through if they need to, like I said, go to class, go to a meeting, finish research. But if they want, you know, if they need something to allow them to be more comfortable, if they have different preferences, somewhere like the Union or Pat Walker Health Center to use some of our money to kind of provide a small stock of things like that. And, you know, one of the other things that we're doing as well is as we're working kind of creating our stickers to slap on the machines is we're also wanting to make a point that if you're an individual who needs these particularly because of lack of being able to afford them as opposed to forgetting them, that we have on there that the Gearhart Food Pantry offers these as well. And so to, you know, ensure that, you know, these are here for you to take, please take one. But if this is something that is a financial need, we want to make sure you also know that the university in their food pantry does offer products like these to give to students.
And they were already offering that.
Yes, they were. Yes, that's correct. Yep. And so one of the issues I've seen with the food pantry and some data that, you know, it's there and it offers a ton, but so few people use it. And so that was one of the big things. I was like, no, let's put that right on the sticker, right in the front to make sure that, you know, that we're pushing that even further because obviously they offer things and provide assistance and a whole bunch of other issues too. So you kind of get to kill two birds with one stone a little bit there.
So the goal is to have this ready for students in the fall, is what it sounds like.
That's the goal, yeah. The last time we kind of met as a little planning group, we talked about kind of doing something official a couple of weeks after the semester starts, basically let things kind of get started, kind of the bustle of the first few weeks kind of get over with, and then we wanted to do something to put it in the newswire, get it out there, and, you know, publicly have it. We think that it will be up and moving by then, but just in terms of having a little bit of a public rollout. We're hoping to get we're having fun and trying to be creative with some things to hand out in terms of flyers at orientation, maybe even get some buttons. We talked about dubbing ourselves the period ambassadors, which we thought was pretty funny, and just you know, making it out there. I mean, a big part of this and a lot of what you see, I think, in this little bit of a movement is this kind of societal shame people have in talking about menstruation. And like I said, you know, this was something, I mean, you know, being, like I said, a gay man, it's not something that I've had to encounter, but it's also not something anyone ever discusses either. And so there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And in fact, it, you know, it's sexist. You know what I mean? The fact that this is something that only impacts females. And so, you know, we wanted to ensure that while we're doing this, we're also trying to push that concept as well to make it sure that, you know, it's 2019 now. You know, we regard ourselves as an organization that values diversity, that values the equality of the genders. And so this is something that can really intangibly try to accomplish that.
What else should we know?
If you Google around, this has been happening a ton, a lot more. Even back in March, there was not a lot. There was I know a handful of schools that had done that. I had gone to, I forgot to mention, one of my inspirations for this was in January. I had a conference at UT Dallas, and I think we were in their student union, and they had big monitors with, you know, rolling information and stuff like that, and they had a big one that offered, was like basically saying, we offer, you know, free menstruation products, and listed all the places where you could go get them, and I was like, that's it, that's right, like, that's the kind of thing we want to do, and so that really helped us kind of coalesce and decide to do that. And, you know, I learned just personally in there, I had been referring to them kind of as feminine hygiene products, and just discussing it with some of my counterparts, you know, we realized that, you know, that's not, even that in of itself, for a couple of reasons, is not really a good term if our goal is complete inclusivity. You know, saying hygiene products in and of itself is going to inherently kind of continue that shame, basically, by, you know, by that word has those types of connotations with it. And then, of course, with feminine, there are some people who menstruate who don't identify as female. And so, you know, that's another big thing for us. And we also are going to, I guess, along those same lines, going to ensure that the gender-neutral bathrooms on campus also have them. I do know that there were some schools that I'd read about that actually put the products in virtually every single bathroom. And while that would be something I think that we would like to look towards kind of in the future once this kind of gets off the ground and we see how things go. But it would be great to ensure that it's not just limited to gender-neutral bathrooms, that if anyone needs to access this type of a product, they can do so in the privacy of any bathroom.
Thank you so much for your time.
This was great. Thank you for having me.
James DiLoretto Hill is president of the Graduate Professional Student Congress at the University of Arkansas. He talked with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda at the Carver Center for Public Radio last week.